This is CliffCentral.com.
All right, good morning. Hello, it is the 6th of July. 6th of July? It was just like the other day, Poppy, it was the 4th of July.
Yeah, it's 2 days later.
It's amazing how that happened. Amazing. Yeah, it's quite funny when 4th of July isn't on the weekend, people seem to obviously make less of a deal of it. So yeah. It's just passed because, like I said earlier in the week, the internet goes nuts for this kind of stuff. It's kind of like St. Patrick's Day.
Mm-hmm.
People start claiming other nationality. They start claiming other people's days, all in the interest of just searching for likes. That's what life's about, people. And here we are because you like us.
Well, that's hopefully.
That's hopefully the plan. It's Friday, Poppy. It's like, you know, when you run a race or you do something like a gym session you didn't want to do.
Yeah.
It's pretty cuck for like 80% of the time. You go, oh, almost finished. Not that I'm saying during the show when Gareth's not here isn't fun. Obviously, it's fun, and that's why we do it. Poppy and I are present and accounted for. Young Gordon, I think, has been put down. He was teetering on the brink, and I think someone had to actually put him down. He had a good run.
Okay.
He's had a good run. We'll remember him fondly.
Man flu is real, man.
I've never got this man flu thing. Flu is flu. Why must it be assigned to genders?
Wow, I feel like you speak for every single woman in the world. We also don't know.
I just never got it. Like, I just thought it was a bad joke, much like when they say, oh, but I've got a pink ticket this weekend. Like, what is that? Like, do you want to do something, you not want to do something?
From what I understand, and I think I've suffered from flu once in my life.
Yeah. That's pretty good. That's impressive in itself.
Yeah, where I felt like I know what flu is because I was suffering and my body was physically like sore and everything.
It's like a sore, like a numb ache almost.
Yeah, it's bizarre, man. So if I can, I guess, identify with that and then just add maybe 10 times more pain and just a sulky attitude and just, you know, I think you guys just want to watch TV and be in bed and ask someone else to bring you stuff. It's okay.
Which is also okay. Why just claim that? Why hide behind this thing? Oh, it's man flu.
That's
it's like,
what men do.
It's like flu, but it's more hardcore.
Mansplaining, that's what y'all do. We get it.
Is it, Poppy? I had no idea. See, I'm not really in the club. I'm my own person. I'm a lone wolf in this.
Jeez, you are alone.
Wow.
Even I'm like, man, flu's a thing.
I genuinely don't believe it is. I mean, doctors out there, look, we've got an esteemed panel of people in our audience. Is man flu a thing or is it just marketing like Valentine's Day? Or is it such a thing? Do men have more extreme strains of flu? I just think this is bollocks.
Let's actually find out. That would be interesting.
But again, it goes back to playing for the likes, Poppy. This is the fact of life.
Playing for the likes.
You live, you want to like. That's what happens. So today is Friday, and there'll be no Sia or Gareth today. I think they got to the stage in their trip where they're just working far too hard. They're going to far too many places, so waking up this morning is a dumb idea. Credit to Sia, though. He did send me a running order of what's going on. Shout out, Sia. Yeah. They'll be back on Tuesday, if you are wondering. So they fly back on Sunday. They're no doubt going to arrive back and be rather tired. I think they kind of land when we do the show on Monday. So Tuesday, in studio live, you'll get to see or get to hear Gareth Cliff and Sia Sangweni with all their stories and amazing things from their trip. Like, Gareth's been really good on Instagram, so GR Cliff on Instagram. You can pick up all the things he's been doing. He's been taking lots of photos, and he really has been like less on the selfies than usual, mostly because he's got Sia taking pictures of him.
But, oh, okay.
But like, if you normally follow Gareth for his customary selfies, then you might be...
Does he love a selfie?
Yeah. But the funny thing is, he flatly denies the fact that he loves selfies.
Okay.
So he fights me to the death about this, but it's like... yeah, more than half your photos are selfies.
I'm just going to put it out there like I did the other day. He's got great skin, so I don't blame him for wanting to selfie his face away.
Well, I still think you're alone on that one. So yeah, get in touch with us if you would like. 079, if you are in South Africa, 748-2090. And of course, if you're listening overseas in some strange time zone or wherever you are in the world, just add a +27, I think that's how it goes. That's, mm-hmm. That's the ZAR. Connection. So today on the Gareth Cliff Show, without Gareth Cliff, there will be no Gordon, but George Meany is coming in. George is cool. He's our resident car guy, the CEO of Auto Trader South Africa. And he always brings up to speed on what's happening in cars, which is a nice way of ending the weekend. here on the show, and in the week, sorry. But we've also got a gardening feature. I know it is cold out there. So yesterday I played golf with Joey Rustin. Now, we've known each other for a few years.
Yeah, no, how was that?
And we finally got together to play a round of golf, and it was so hot. The golf was so difficult because suddenly this week in particular, winter has now turned. Because up here in the high veld of Gauteng, and apologies if you don't live here and this doesn't really interest you, but when the frost settles, everything becomes so dry and hard. So golf courses suddenly become like links golf courses here. The ball runs and it's difficult. So this week is a massive turning point in our outdoor surroundings here. So the Lifestyle Home and Garden feature addresses what's going to happen in July, the gardening do's and don'ts, and what works and what doesn't work in this rather severe climate that we have right here. I mean, it's so cold. I pulled a muscle yesterday.
Doing what? Golfing?
Yeah, at the end. Because I was so cold and it was harsh. So yeah, you got that to look forward to. Plus you got the five things you need to know with Poppy, of course. She'll bring up the latest in the news. I've got the latest of sport because it is going into the quarterfinals of the World
Yes!
Cup. How very bloody exciting. The best two games, well, the most high-profile games will take place today. So that is 4 o'clock and 8 o'clock, but we'll get into that. And then we'll ease you into a couple of other things. Poppy's got some things that she wants to talk about. I've got a few features. And yesterday, Gareth spoke about Love Island. Now, you remember when Big Brother first came out?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Big Brother was this reality TV show back when reality TV shows were basically Jerry Springer. I think he was the first reality show. And from there, it sort of became like this new thing.
Yeah.
Now, as much as we think reality TV shows have had their day and they've come and gone, if anything, I think it's even more in its prime than ever. Sure, Big Brother's fallen away and there was Big Brother South Africa that fell away. Big Brother Africa, I think, also fell away. But Idols, X Factor, So You Think You Can Do, all kinds of things, they're increasing in size and stature.
Mm-hmm.
As with YouTube and vlogging. Vlogging is almost like the new reality TV. So I guess if you can't beat it or if you can't get away from it, you might as well have a look at it. So Love Island is like one of those, I suppose you could say it's a proper guilty pleasure.
Okay.
The singles get taken to a beautiful island. And then from what I understand, because I can't find information about this show, other than watch, watch, watch. All they want you to do is watch. They're mm-hmm. just constantly driving you towards clips and episodes and orange people.
But is this a British show?
Yeah, so most of these shows start in Britain. I give them credit. They do that quite well. And then they pick up other franchises. So there's Love Island Australia, which is basically the exact same show, just with more like, with dreadful accents. So from my understanding, they take these couples.
Mm-hmm.
How many people are there? There's like... This website's really, like, in life, if you have a website or anything, can you just have a what's going on here kind of section? Is that too much to bloody ask? Love Island is a reality show with so-and-so people, and they do this. I can't find the information. All I've got is just, like, pictures and people and episodes. So this is what Love Island is. You go to an island as a single, and you need to basically hook up, and the winning couple then gets the money.
You go single.
Yeah. Look, I don't think anyone really cares too much about the dynamics of the show to really, dispute me on this. I'm running with my theory. You go as a single,
mm-hmm.
and obviously you've got to be in amazing shape. You've got to be tanned. You've got to be good looking. There is no average people on this Love Island.
That's okay.
Average in brain, though. Exceptional in looks, because this is the name of TV.
Something's got to give.
Yeah. It's not like radio where you can look like whoever you want, because right now we sound... I mean, incredible in every single way. We are. I mean, you can put whatever face you want to us. It's all fine, even though it is 6 a.m. and I look like a beaten bush. So Love Island, you go there as singles, and then you've got to hook up with people. And the whole thing is that you've got to create bonds that you can become a strong couple. And now, if you are at the last couple standing, then you win the money, which is great. And then you live happily ever after for the next 3 days. You get voted off. And there's all kinds of situations where obviously love can take place or just flat out sex and lust and all those other kind of things. But yeah, it's not the highest caliber of person, I've got to say, from what I've seen.
To be honest, yeah, I just feel like me and Taylor are meant to be. I feel really good. I just feel like, you know, when like you put like tomato sauce on a sausage roll, it's just like the best combo. I feel like that's what it is. So
what are the main things that you want to say?
I love you. Makes me happy. Fucking, I'm trying to think what else.
So I see what I'm saying. Like the caliber of human being here, it looks first.
Brain
the ability to communicate may be a secondary thing. This is Love Island, Australia. So, you have to be in great shape. As a guy, you have to wear tiny shorts and you have to have tattoos. but then, of course, the Love Island, England, this is the best because I think these people are the most orange. And I think they probably go somewhere, they go to one of those Spanish, Greek islands, whatever.
I think we, all of us girls, know how Josh was when he came into this villa. He was a smooth criminal.
Yeah.
And when that died down, that's when I really started to like him and admitted it to him. And I'm just a bit worried that in this new villa, I hope the bloody smooth criminal doesn't come out. Do you know what I mean?
I do. I hear you.
Oh, am I invited?
You're more than invited.
That was
come on.
So funny.
Mm-hmm. Sleeping arrangements are going to get real, real interesting tonight.
Can you just imagine if they're in bed with two girls?
Things will kick.
So the way I look at this reality TV show as well is like, when you're in school, you get the popular kids and you get the not so popular kids. And then it comes to holiday times and the popular and therefore probably rich kids, they go to these really cool places and you go along with your life and you don't do anything interesting. Then they come back to school and they go, oh, the best holiday ever. Shows like this are basically your eyes to the best holiday ever. And maybe that's what the big appeal is, because these shows, like I was saying, they're not going away. If anything, they're only getting newer and fancier and bigger budgets. Mm-hmm. And Love Island, like, I can't get over it. People are obsessed with it in England, like obsessed. So as Gareth and Steve were saying, the weather's actually quite nice right now. It's summer, all that kind of stuff. People here are indoors watching these people, and it is the biggest thing on TV right now. It's incredible.
Jersey Shore big?
Yeah. So Jersey Shore was unashamedly just crass and tacky, and we've all played clips from that. So I think what they're trying to do here is obviously then – you know, it's that kind of big, but it's the more respectable kind of version.
Well, it was one day I spent with Wes, and if I connect with anyone, it'll be you or Alex.
Yeah.
What other girls do you rate in here?
No one.
No one?
What other girls do you rate in here? No one. You're lying out your ass, man.
This whole thing's about finding the person that's best for you, not what's best for the other person. Otherwise, me and Laura would have still carried on the whole way, and I wouldn't have been thinking the way that I feel about Meg now, and I wouldn't be as happy as I am now.
You're right.
I owe it to Georgia to tell her, but you can't because you're here and she's there, and I don't know what she's doing. My melon is going. So I do feel like my head has been turned.
So if you're not watching Love Island, take it from me. I think you're not really missing anything. I think everything you can think of is happening, so therefore don't bother watching it. But if you like guilty pleasures and you like seeing a bit of skin in winter, then go ahead.
I recognize a voice in there, because the UK, they do that where they kind of rotate some of the people that they feature in these reality shows.
Oh, sure. I mean, you get these career sort of C-list reality TV stars. I'm pretty sure they all get rehashed. Jeez. And they all look kind of similar. So, I mean, who are we to kind of just differentiate between them?
Yeah.
Oh, and they prove their love. Whatevs. If you think we should have more shows like that in this country, then let us know. Or if you've got an idea for a reality show that could be better than this, go ahead. Just Playing, who Poppy is a big fan of yours, and he's on the show every morning to come to have his say. He also thinks this man flu is bullshit. There's no such thing as man flu. See, people of substance, this is what I'm talking about. Get over it. You've got flu. Move on with your life. more messages. I think I should actually just get folders here. And I put the ones about you to one side and I get them all on one side. Morning, guys. I listen to the show every day. I'm glad that Poppy's on the show. She adds a new dimension to the show. Ben, who do you think will win the World Cup? I think Poppy's going to win the World Cup. I think England, England aren't that great. Look, I think it's funny the English fans are so obsessed with this whole it's coming home malarkey.
They are invested.
Oh, it's like I made a video, like I told you yesterday, I put it onto the YouTube channel. And you know, someone actually physically had got a tattoo made, the England World Cup saying England 2018 World Cup champions.
Are you for real, even?
I thought it was Photoshop, and then actually there's a person. There's a guy in England, and he's got the tattoo. It's a real guy. Then this message, sorry, this video that I put out,
yeah.
Someone then commented that this guy lives in his street. So it legit is the real guy.
Is he South African or British?
No, British guy.
Okay. I was about to say that doesn't make sense. Unbelievable. What are the chances out of how many teams are left now? 4 or 6?
So we've got 8 teams.
Oh, eight.
Okay. 8 teams, so quarterfinals. So we had, so there's the, what's it, 8 groups? Yeah, correct, 8 groups. Top 2 teams go from 8 groups, which then whittles down from 32 to 16 teams. They get the round of 16. Uh-huh. Quarterfinals onto 8, and then obviously we get 4 in the semis and the 2 in the finals. So that's how all these things break down. But yeah, super fan Jamie Richardson, after England were 5-0 up against Panama, he thought to himself, "That's it. I'm getting a tattoo." So Jamie, bless his soul, as they say, to people who, I mean, Jamie probably didn't make it onto Love Island this summer, so therefore he's looking for something else to do. He decided that when England were beating one of the most lesser-known international teams, that he was now going to get a tattoo. And he's on his belly, it just says England 2018 World Cup winners, and then it's got the emblem, the logo of what's going on right now in Russia. But he's now that guy. This is his claim to fame. Of course, if it doesn't work, then he's going to feel like a bit of a plonker. But at the same time, he's Jamie with the World Cup tattoo. So when he goes down pub, he is someone. Huh? Like I said, all for the likes.
All for the damn likes.
It's like becoming a theme. I wasn't even trying. So if you see memes going around and people sending you WhatsApp images, that tattoo is a real deal. It's the real thing. Jamie Richardson is the guy. Yeah. I've just sent you a Harvard article on man flu. Read it before jumping to conclusions. I don't know if I can get that article. Just okay, you know what? I'll Google it. I'll look up on it, and we'll pick this up on Monday. How about that?
Please, send it to all of us. I also want to read and make notes and be a nerd about life and do my research over the weekend.
If you do have the man flu, then yeah, come bring it on. Bring it on. Well, we don't know how we feel about Pops. What? Pops? Oh, it's the Cassie Tops. Yeah, guys, we're going to get to you in a bit. The whole Cassie Tops feature is coming.
I'm not part of Cassie Tops. Don't include me. I've just arrived here. I know nothing about Cassie Tops.
Wow, okay. Yeah, these guys, they're throwing off in the senior messages because there's so much stuff in them. Blah, 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 blah. Right, oh, I did want to talk about something. You know, Fast and Furious movies?
Yes.
They're endless.
I was about to say, are we not done now?
No.
Oh.
I've discovered what their formula is.
Tell us.
Again, maybe this isn't the cleverest thing, and you probably worked it out yourself a long time ago. Their formula is keep making these shit movies, but just keep bringing in bigger stars each time to kind of make this thing float. So Fast and Furious was Vin Diesel, Paul Walker. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Stay with me, Poppy. I know I feel like I'm losing you straight away.
Mm-hmm.
Stay.
I know these two. Paul Walker passed away.
Yeah, Paul Walker. He's no longer with us. But then Vin Diesel. But I think he's fat now, so I'm not sure he's part of this whole system. Then what they did was they brought in The Rock. Okay.
Yes.
Then what they did was they brought in Jason Statham. See where I'm going with this?
Oh.
Fast and Furious is a movie. Basically, cars go fast. People get really, really furious. But now they're bringing in Idris Elba. So we knock Fast and Furious, right? But how smart is this? They know they're never going to... They've run out of ideas. It's all the same kind of crap. But when you bring in these big megastars...
Idris.
Yeah.
Nah, fam.
Trust me on this. We're at the stage. Fast and Furious are going to feature Thor at some stage. Iron Man's going to be on there. All they keep doing is just making their leading kind of male characters bigger and better and stronger and actiony. And Idris Elba's a big deal.
He is a big deal. He just doesn't suit the type of movie that he's now going to be in. I don't see him in Fast and Furious at all. I see him as a James Bond. He's dapper. He's got like a flair and an air about him that's way sexy and like smarter and more cavalier than
Fast
and the Furious.
But this is the beauty of the Fast and Furious. The Fast and Furious are basically making themselves a facilitator to action heroes. So it's almost like they're saying...
I see what you're saying.
It's like they're now in the passenger seat and saying, well, you guys are going to run the Fast and Furious brand from now on. Because think about what...
That's
Rock,
smart.
Like, The Rock's the biggest deal. is like, I think he was the highest paid actor last year.
Mm-hmm,
so what these guys are doing is they're almost placeholdering themselves to then facilitate action heroes to go through. So after Idris, I don't know. I reckon they're going to bring in a Marvel hero. Because those guys are everywhere.
I see what you're saying now.
So if you like the Fast and Furious movies, well, Fast and Furious 9. I bet if I play the trailer, all we'll hear is tire screeching and things like, "Don't worry, we won't forget this." And other really kind of lines you might hear in Love Island. I'm trying to play the intro. No, I don't want to see your advert.
Is Tyrese still a feature?
Tyrese?
Wasn't he in there?
It's Fast and Furious.
The other black guy.
Yeah, the other black guy. Poppy, I know who Tyrese is. Papers. Get it together.
Before
it's
Idris, there was Tyrese.
Idris and Tyrese, okay.
Oh, man. Because remember last year, Tyrese, I think it was him, he was crying about the fact that The Rock had been roped in.
Because he was no longer going to be the lead black guy.
Yes.
Okay, well, this one seems like they're going back to their roots. Oh, Vin Diesel speaking Spanish. That's when you know this is going to be a big deal.
Chinese guy? Who's this guy?
Yep, like I said, lots of tire screeching. So was Tyrese actually having a cry? Did he go online and put phone to face and have a bit of a cry?
I don't know that he did that. He was just really emotional about the fact that, you know how it is when someone new comes to the group and then that person's more liked, that person's more popular, a person's bigger, better, funnier, everything more than you. And I think he felt threatened and he was just kind of like, dude, just relax. You're not as big as you think you are. This is the group and we've just asked for you to come in. You're not the captain, the class captain just yet. And he was crying about it forever. And what I loved is that The Rock just ignored.
Yeah, just not into it. Bigger guy. But what is it with this, like, I don't know if it's me or you've seen this as well, but like celebrities and crying and people feeling like they have to cry nowadays online.
Don't get me started. So a friend of mine did that the other day. I wouldn't call her a friend, an acquaintance of mine did that the other day. But now here's my thing. Okay, so she's crying about something emotional. I get it. I would also be crying. I just wouldn't be crying on camera. Okay, let's say you cry on camera. Why would you upload it for the world to see? And also, how do you carry on crying into your phone? When are you wiping the tears? Why do you want us to see you like that? I don't want people seeing me crying full stop, let alone on camera, and then to upload it. Like, it's just really weird to me that people sit through that and want you now to sit through them, watching them cry.
Like it's something of real, of purpose. The Renegade Report, one of our most downloaded shows here on Cliff Central, outside of obviously the morning show, they have some fascinating guests coming in talking about some real hardcore issues. And Ronaldo Jos, he's probably SA's biggest YouTuber. He was the guest this week, and I was chatting to him. And we actually got into this conversation about YouTubers, vloggers nowadays. Like, when you run out of kind of ideas, you run out of things to really talk about, people are starting to share their inner feelings now and crying more and, like, being all expressive and emotional. And it's, like, we kind of came to the conclusion that once you feel the spotlight is really shining on you in life, you feel like you have to share more about you.
Sure.
Which I guess is, you can kind of understand, because getting back to reality TV where, geez, Poppy, the show's flowing today. getting back to reality TV where I told you it's more of a thing now than ever, not less of a thing.
Sure.
Is that these people always feel like they're accountable to the audience, as in they can't hide anything anymore from their audiences. So people obviously now are crying more, and you see it with vloggers and you see it online and all that kind of stuff. It's like, if you cry, it's like the ultimate symbol of this is me.
And you're opening up and being so vulnerable. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and because I'm vulnerable, I'm actually strong. So therefore, doing it for the likes.
Doing it for the likes. It's a hashtag. It's a thing. It's on like Donkey Kong.
It's everywhere. It's everywhere.
I just don't get it. Even Shame, even with Sashi, I was just like, you don't look good. it just, like, it's not a great representation of you. And I know you're not trying to look good in that moment, but spare us your tears. Just tell us that you had a cry about it.
Yeah.
We'll believe you.
Exactly.
But we don't want to see you actually crying. Ever.
Yeah, it's so right. We talk about guilty pleasures with Love Island. I don't find watching people cry a guilty pleasure. I find it so cringe. And if someone cries in my general, like if you had to start crying right now, I wouldn't know what to do.
Or are you one of those people? I just start crying too. I don't have the capacity to be like, what's wrong? I'm just like, we're in this together. Whatever it is you're going through, I'm going through it with you. Please believe.
So Alex Tavo Pali, that's an interesting name. He says that Tyrese is a big crybaby.
He is.
He also cried when the courts took his child from him. He wasn't taking care of her in the first place. Problem here is, why cry online? Are you looking for sympathy, or are you just a dick? All good points. But we must get into the top headlines for today. It is Friday. It is the 6th of July. And Poppy's got the five things that you really need to know going into your weekend.
Quick update on the Thailand cave rescue.
Yes.
One of the Navy divers has died.
Oh, no.
Right? I remember we were speaking about how they were teaching these boys how to swim and how to dive because the waters, it's monsoon season and it's going to get tricky for the boys inside the cave at the moment. And one of the divers, which is actually just as scary, has died. So he was a former SEAL. He's been identified as Saman Kunin. And apparently he was unconscious while making the return journey from Chamber 3. Mm. How does that work? Can you be unconscious and still swim? That's so crazy.
Wow.
So it's getting tough and tricky.
Well, also when someone of the skill level
dies
in the process of trying to move around, it doesn't give you a lot of hope for the more unskilled people.
Exactly, i.e. the kids.
As in the people who they're trying to save.
Mm-hmm. So it's, I don't know what they're going to do, but they need to do something and they need to do it quickly. In South Africa, I'm sure you saw the story yesterday, but I thought we could have a quick chat about it. The poachers that were mauled by lions.
Yes, good story this.
It's an amazing story. So apparently there were two suspected rhino poachers who were eaten by lions in a South African game reserve. Mm-hmm. Rangers discovered the remains jeepers. So it's not like there were people there, near Kenton-on-Sea, that's my area.
Yeah.
They discovered a high-powered rifle and an axe at the scene. And that's the long and short of it, is that they'd been chowed by lions.
So my first question would be is, do the lions now get killed?
No.
Because obviously when these things happen, people generally say, well, then, once the lion's eaten a human, they're going to start hunting, which I disagree with. But then again, I mean, I also disagree with man flu. So this has got to be one of those cases where these lions have to live.
They must live.
Because if anything, they should be given like police badges here.
Right?
Because they just prevented a crime.
Oh, they should be police reservists.
Yeah.
They're rock stars. They did. And also, what was supposed to happen? So say you're a lion. Think about this for a second. You come across two poachers with a rifle and an axe. What you going to do, homie? It's either you or it's them.
Yep.
I don't blame the lions. So I feel like you're fair game if you're in their habitat.
I agree. I just hope they tasted okay for the lion's sake. I hope it was just, I hope it was good.
I'm sure they were. So I don't know if you're following the SARS Tomoyane EFF Pravin Gordhan story. It's a movie. It actually is going to be one of the biggest political stories. We just want the truth, the facts. And I think we might not get the facts now because Julius Malema is also within the mix all of a Sunday. So there's the SARS inquiry going on.
Yes.
And then there's, of course, Tomoyane, who is being disciplined by President Cyril Ramaphosa as well. There was that, and Dalimpofu was involved. Then remember at the beginning of the week, we asked, is it not a conflict of interest because of state capture that Dalimpofu is involved? Mm-hmm. But apparently advocates can't choose their cases. Now, the weird thing is, for me anyway, is that EFF leader Julius Malema has come in to defend Tomoyane and him being unfairly treated. And I'm like, firstly, were you not the one who sounded the bell on state capture?
Okay, so there's...
What do you want here?
So probably there's levels to this story. Bear with me as I speculate. You know, that's when political parties were told that they must divulge where they get their money from, and the EFF were like, no, that's a bit of a cuck idea. Now, there's huge amounts of rumors that go around. If you do any bit of reading, this isn't exactly a secret, that some dodgy money comes towards the EFF from people who do things that maybe Tom Mayani could turn a blind eye to. Say, I don't know, dodgy cigarettes and money coming from such things.
Fair enough. It's funny not our problem.
It's funny how Tom turned a blind eye to a couple of things that might have then helped funding towards the EFF. So if you follow a very obvious paper trail, you can see how these politicians suddenly have, let's just say...
But then the EFF should have thought of that before they told us about state capture. This is not our problem. We just want all the criminals gone.
EFF don't care about these things because they'll justify it, blame stuff on whiteness, and they'll get away with it in their minds. So that's why, if you're wondering about this about turn here, is that Tom Mayani has definitely helped the EFF by being...
I don't even think he's helped them. Like, his intention was to help them. I think he just was so busy with state capture that he wasn't looking over here.
Yeah.
And now they're like, oh, sure, but he could talk about this. It's weird.
Yeah, well, that's all I'm going to say on it. I think that's Tom Mayani and his dodginess of things here and there actually kind of helped the EFF. So now the EFF are like, whoa, shit, now we've actually got to be nice to this guy because he helped us get money through this channel.
We are living in a mafia state, if you ever doubted it, South Africa.
Read any of Mandy Wiener's books. She's obviously in the front line of all these kind of things, and she knows.
I'm scared to read Mandy's books because I feel like I know some of these people that she talks about. And I don't want to know what people are doing, actually. Next story, CEO Sleep Out trustees have apologized. Did you hear about the story where they were bidding a night out in Nelson Mandela's cell in Robben Island for 3.4 million rand? That's where the bidding was going to start. A post was circulated on social media saying that Robben Island, the room was in essence up for bidding and for someone to be able to spend the night there and experience what Madiba experienced. Really? That's not a real thing. So they've apologized, apparently, if they offended everyone. I hate those apologies. Of course you offended people. Don't give us a conditional apology. It was a dumb move.
It's someone crying into the phone again.
There you go. And then last but not least, Ashwin Vilopsa, who's been missing in action, has actually been studying and getting his master's from Fitz University. So kudos to him. I think it's pretty awesome. Not only did he get his master's degree in, wait for it, entrepreneurship and new venture creation, he did so with distinction. And his wife, Michelle, also graduated.
Well done, Ashwin. So
you won't need the super couple.
You won't need the super sport job anyway now.
He won't. Jeepers. I actually think that's probably why he walked off set. It's all coming together now. He doesn't need the gig. He's way too smart for what's happening there.
We've already spoke about the EFF. Let's not try to get into any more things. We need to get into the sports. It is the sport. It is Friday. It is the weekend. And you have four amazing games to watch in the World Cup, Russia 2018. Now, we all know that we've got to the stage where people are saying it's an unpredictable World Cup, yet the top teams are really here, let's be honest. Portugal, Argentina, they were never going to really kind of contest this. I didn't feel they were ever going to be good enough. Too much emphasis on their star players, but cohesively, they're never going to really get there. Germany had a massive wobble, a massive breakdown, and they are gone. But Spain, also, they lost their coach the day before the tournament. Maybe these guys were always going to fall short. Here are our final teams going into this. 24 down, 8 teams remain. Today, we've got Uruguay versus France. This is going to be a big one because Uruguay, brilliantly well-rounded team. France is the superstar outfit. But it does look like Cavani might not make it for Uruguay. Of course, he is such the devastating strike partner with Suarez up front. Take that away, and suddenly Uruguay are left with, well, they really are just going from two legs to one leg because it's all about the cohesion and the symmetry around the team around that. France, though, they've got Kylian Mbappe up front. They've got Pogba in the middle. They've got a lot of star players here. I mean, they are so good that they could even field Giroud just to make up the numbers. That's how these guys are. I mean, it's French arrogance right there. But this is brilliant. This is a brilliant team, and I reckon they're going to take it. So it's 4 o'clock today, South African time. Then we've got Belgium versus Brazil. Now, everyone talks about Brazil being this amazing attacking team, and yes, they are. But they are just as impressive in the defense. Now, that's the problem. That when you're a kid, you want to be a striker for obvious reasons because you want to be noticed. No one cares about defenders. You tell me who's in the back line there for the Brazilian team. You don't know. But these guys are every bit as talented and purposeful and useful as Neymar up front. Can't see Belgium unlocking this defense. I really can't. And while they are holding resolute to the back, you know these guys are going to score. So I'm going to pick Belgium to go out, and it'll be 8 o'clock tonight, Friday, Brazil to go through. France and Brazil to go through from that side of the draw. Then on the other side, and seeing as everyone's thinking it, I'm just going to say it. If Russia get any further in this tournament, I'm calling bullshit. I'm calling match fixing. I'm calling Vlad is pulling the strings here. This is a very average team. Of course, they played against a pretty woeful Saudi Arabia. And to credit to these guys, they are playing the best football of their entire lives. But this Russian team doesn't have a lot of quality. And to go this far in this level of the game, I think Croatia are going to win. Croatia, I've got that mesmerizing midfield.
I've never actually even watched Croatia playing. But I want to know, are any of the Russian players people we would know? As in, like, mainstream, they play UEFA, La Liga, none of that.
Nope.
Oh, wow.
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
Vlad has got us.
So I reckon this Croatian team is going to be too good. I know they weren't overly amazing against Denmark, but I reckon they're going to win. If they don't win, and this game is as boring as that Spanish affair, like I say, I'm gonna call bullshit on that. And then Sweden versus England. England should just have more firepower. Simple as that. Sweden are a pretty defensive-minded team. They've done bloody well to get to where they are. All credit to them. They deserve to be there. The game against Switzerland was very boring, though, and it wasn't an own goal that got them through. So I'm back in England there. So that's what I'm saying for the weekend. Croatia and England are going to go through from the one side, and Brazil and France are going to go through from the other side. Diego Maradona has apologized for being a bit of a dick and saying the referee was useless. I think ultimately when drugs die down, I mean, we've all been there, that you become a lot more sort of introspective, you become a lot more sort of humble. And that's why, kids, you should always, you know, balance your drugs. And now Maradona's going through that regret and remorse phase. So good for him. Also shows maybe he's a human. Now, this very special and smart people have been doing a player rating for who the most influential, useful players have been in this tournament so far. Just to run you through the top five, Spanish midfielder Isco scored a 8.29. Colombian defender Yara Muna scored 8.34. He scored that goal that just got them into the penalties with England. And then the third most influential player, useful player, has been Neymar on 8.49. The two most important players of this World Cup are Eden Hazard and Harry Kane, both scoring 8.71.
Kane.
Those are your big names going into this next round. Cristiano Ronaldo's moved to Italy, to Juventus. Some people are saying it's a done deal. But until he's holding that shirt with number 7 and Ronaldo on the back with the white and black stripes, I can't see it happening just yet. But Juventus's shares have surged on the back of all these rumors. Like this guy, he obviously, as they say in sports, he'll move the needle just like Tiger Woods does. Mm. And yeah, Juventus shares popped yesterday up 8% on the back of all these rumors of Ronaldo going to Turin. Interesting, huh? Just big name, big brand. Ronaldo, say what you want about him, but the guy knows what he's doing. He's a purposeful, driven athlete. That's what he is. Super Rugby this weekend, we are getting to the end. It's, yeah, I know, big tears. Yeah, we've got 2 rounds left of regulation play. So right now, the Australian Conference is headed up by the Waratahs. Then it's the Rebels and the Brumbies. But, well, it's just basically the Waratahs you need to look out for there. The Rebels will get a wild card pick by the looks of things right now. New Zealand Conference, Crusaders topping that on 54 points. They really are way ahead there. Hurricanes are second on 45. Then we've got the Chiefs on 41. So those three teams look like they're going to be heading towards the playoffs. And then in the African Conference, the Lions are on top there, but they've played one more than the Hagawadeth. The Hagawadeth are 3 points behind a 38, Lions 41. And then we've got the Sharks, the Bulls, and the Stormers looking like they're going to have a bit of a break before the Rugby Championship starts. So looking at the fixtures for this weekend, if you are into rugby and you've had enough of the football, I'm not going to judge you. I'm just saying it's an interesting choice because this is very much second prize. But Friday today, Blues versus Reds, 9:35. Rebels versus the Waratahs, 11:45. tomorrow, we've got the Highlanders versus the Chiefs at 9:35. The Brumbies versus the Hurricanes at 11:45. Sunwolves versus the Bulls. Sunwolves just beat the Stormers? No one's talking about this. This is last week's games.
I was about to say the Stormers lost last week.
I know, Poppy. The level of interest in this tournament has got to an absolute low. Okay, I'll tell you what's really good this weekend. Sharks versus Stormers. There we go. In Cape Town. The Bulls are hosting the Hagawalith. Those are your two games you really need to worry about because, let's be honest, we're all watching the football. In tennis news, Garbiñ Muguruza. She's gone. Yeah, the defending champion at Wimbledon. She is done-us. Gone. Finished out of there. That just means that top seed Simona Halep, number 7 seed Caroline Pliskova, and number 10th seed Madison Keys are the only top seeds remaining in the women's draw. Marin Cilic, he's gone from the men's side, so that's the big upset. Otherwise, the men seem to be holding quite firm. And Rafael Nadal's changing his clothes on courts and getting time violations, and Federer's looking strong.
Where's
otherwise,
Djokovic?
He's there. But, I mean, Djokovic is a mid-table kind of guy at the moment. So that Edmund guy, who is England's one and only chance, come on, Kyle, he'll be taking on Djokovic in the next round. So England, in 1 week, will have lost all their talents because Joanna Konta lost in the first round. And yeah, it's, you know, the English want to cheer for someone, but they can't because they're not there. But John Muguruza, who normally has a face like a smacked ass, I mean, a very grumpy woman, this, she's gone. Very unhappy about that. Kevin Anderson, he's through. If you're into South African tennis, yeah, he's through. You know, no problems there. Nas Buerta, well, he'll be returning to the Super Sports set this weekend. Sure. What a relief. So seeing as I didn't really care too much about the Super Rugby fixtures, Nas will hold your hand through them. He'll be in studio. Still no sign of Ashwin or Nick. But yeah, that's pretty much the weekend. And there's the Irish Open in the European Tour, which is the big golfing thing for this weekend. There might be Formula One.
What do you mean, might be?
Well, if you like Formula One, you know if there is or there isn't. You don't need me to hold your hand through that one either. We must get to... I've got the messages piling up. It is Friday, of course, so George Meany will be in the second hour. Oh, I've also got a pretty... I know it's Friday, and we try and keep things light and fluffy on the show, but I've got a human trafficking story, a local human trafficking story that is verified. I've checked my sources in this. I know people who know people, and it's kind of closer to home than we really do think, and I thought that I'd just bring it up because, firstly, we can't be naive to this kind of stuff and to know that it's happening. It's not just happening in dodgy places or in movies with Liam Neeson. It's happening in our day-to-day lives. So I'm going to bring you that story in the second hour as well. But we need to get into our garden feature for today. Now, Poppy, when I first saw this on the running order a few weeks back, I was like, well, what are we going to do with gardening? It's going to be quite difficult for us. But then the lifestyle, home and garden people... They've changed my view on gardening. They've changed my view on plants, on getting this whole thing going because of what it does for the house. Now, it feels like they've been with us forever, such as the impact on the show here. They've been putting little plants around the studio, but not just,
I can see.
Not just like, here's some green, it'll fill a gap. All of these plants have a certain purpose within here. So they either clean the air, they're providing more oxygen, and they're just generally nicer ways of going about having a layout around here. So mm-hmm. We've got quite a big open space in the studio here. If you follow us on Instagram, you see some of the videos we post, you'll see that the plants have definitely changed everything. So what do you do in your garden in July? I said at the start of the show that it is very much hardcore winter right now. It is like you think nothing's going to grow. Everything's cold and dead and dry. But our friends from Lifestyle Home Garden, they're going to tell us what to do. So practical tool to help you get gardening in the month of July: gardening to-dos. Despite the fact that it has turned out to be quite a freezing winter, yep, understatement of the year, midday in the Highveld can be very pleasant and sunny and makes for the perfect time to get some garden tasks done. Yeah, if it's not windy here, it's still actually great. I mean, we bitch about how cold things are, but the winters are still pretty decent here. Especially that considering that July is pruning month and there's a lot to do in preparation for spring. End of July, we prune roses. More on that to come in our show on the 20th of July. Stay with that. But basically, the whole pruning and the purpose of the July gardening, why it's so important, is fruit trees, bushes, and vines should be pruned in the beginning of this month. So if you have fruit trees, bushes, and vines, get your pruning out this weekend. All you have to do is simply cut off dead and old branches and trim back to encourage fresh, new growth in the spring season. Yep, spring is, what, 2 months away? Especially with the frost we have been experiencing, make sure that your tender plants are covered with frost covering. So just like a general sheet, you get, I mean, obviously, if you go to actual Lifestyle Garden Center, Home and Garden Center, you'll find the kind of sheets that you can put onto this kind of stuff. But plant aloes to add some fiery color to your winter garden, because you are still looking at your garden, whether you like it or not. You've got to see it all year round. You can plant cabbage and lettuce in your veggie garden now. These greens, these leafy greens, they thrive in the cold winter. So pretty hardy then. I know we've got cabbage and lettuce and spinach all down in our outside garden, and they're thriving. Apply a 6-3-4 or 8-1-5 fertilizer to your leafy veg and herbs. Obviously, when you're in the business of buying your fertilizer, you'll know exactly what to talk about here. Feed the birds. Whilst their natural food sources are low, seeds or fruit are a top choice for your garden to have the birds. Reduce your watering of indoor plants in the colder months. That's interesting. I thought it would have been dry, you might have to increase. But I guess it's less heat, so it just also makes sense. If you don't like to be outdoors in the colder weather, bring some life indoors with greenery and flowering indoor plants. Side note, Lifestyle has a 30% off special on all indoor plants at the moment. Yeah, it is actually quite a good thing. Because you feel almost duty bound, I must go out. But if you're shivering and not enjoying yourself,
exactly,
bring it indoors. And also, once you get into the habit of bringing plants indoors, no matter what the season is, you're going to find things and spice up your rooms in that way. July is also the perfect time to do all these little things you don't get to do during the winter months, like repair and sharpen tools, install or fix water features, paving and retaining walls, or create that special corner in the garden you've been meaning to. So visit the Lifestyle blog for more info on what you can do in your garden in July. So think of it like a sort of important maintenance month for your gardening, but you know, you still can plant. Like I said, those leafy greens are a big deal. But otherwise, spring is what you're looking out for. So get your pruning on, make sure all your maintenance is done so you can fly into the spring, which is what we all looking forward to. Next week, we'll be chatting about Mandela Day and highlighting some plants you can put in your garden named after the great icon. Yeah, that's
quite a thing. Wow, there's plants named after Madiba?
Yeah.
That's
huge. All about them next week. Choose your lifestyle with Lifestyle Home Garden. Anchor tenant at the Lifestyle Garden Center, corner of Bears Nor Deer Drive and Azahot Avenue, Rand Park Ridge, Randburg. Now, if you want to go to their website, it's just www.lifestyle.co.za. Simple as that, lifestyle.co.za. And they're such cool people as well. Like, whenever they come into the studio here, they always talk about the plants, and when they have a look around, this place is thriving as a result.
It looks great. It's like a really nice jungle inside here. I'm going to need these for my house. I don't have much of a garden outside going on.
Well, lifestyle.co.za, Poppy. Yes, so there will be no Gareth or Sia today because, well, their schedules just don't permit. They just don't permit. They've got things
they're
to
still
do.
Still sleeping.
Well, I guess it's part of your schedule. Right, so we spoke yesterday about the Cussie Tops. Now, these guys are, well, they clearly are the biggest thing when it comes to the male.
Can you give us a 101 on the Cussie Tops? Because I just need to orientate myself. What am I getting into? What's the vibe? Just quickly run down. Who are they? What's the deal?
Well, Poppy, maybe I should reference their Twitter account to kind of answer that question. At Cussie Tops, KASITOPS. Now, if you know what I'm talking about, you know what the tops are all about. They are the top gays that Cussie has to offer. We dig deeper. Here's the number.
Top what?
So they're tops. Hang on, I'll get to it. They are the top gays that Cussie has to offer. This is their bio I'm reading out here. We dig deeper. Contact them on 081-246-5459. They've got a WhatsApp group that you can now join the group for rates of their services, their top services. They get pics.
What's a service?
You get vids and exclusive shit. Well, they're in the escorts, sexual servicing region. That's what So here's what the Cussie Tops had to say for themselves yesterday. Like, they were keeping us updated about
serious?
Yeah, so they gave us a they gave us a rundown of when they actually took a taxi to Santon the one day for a client. and the client was a respectable gent in, well, let's just say one of the Sandton CBD's nice hotels. So the two guys obviously had to then go about the service. I don't know what their rates are currently. I don't want to misquote their rates because they're a professional organization. I don't want to over undersell them. And then, to their surprise, the gent wanted to be urinated on. And
I'm done. Like professionals,
they stepped up.
Real life.
No, they stepped up. So this is what the Cussy Tops had to say yesterday. Feels like it was only yesterday when Ntandazo spoke to Ben a little over 1.5 months ago. Now we're a huge family of sellers and buyers. So when they first started messaging us, they were very brazenly say that they sell dick. That's what they do. They sell dick. They're in the interest and the region and field of selling dick.
To men and to women. Oh, no. Just to men.
It's to men right now. So they've got a pretty they got a gay market. I mean, they were sending us pictures of straight men they were hooking up with and turning them. This is how good the Cussy Tops are.
But are you straight?
They're professionals. Yeah. Poppy, at this stage, they're industry professionals. So they are still seeking Sia as a client.
Ah!
I'll have a word with Gareth. Maybe he's got a... look, I don't know. I don't know if it's a Sia's thing. I'm not going to put that on him. We are eternally grateful for how you guys have got us to gain traction so fast. Yeah, see, you know, we're all about small business. Our pics and vids hit north of 20,000 views on Twitter alone. We have over 3,000 direct contact lists of gay buyers and sellers of ass and dick. We have an exclusive WhatsApp group now for buyers and sellers to unite and conduct businesses. So basically, they created their own like LinkedIn marketplace here. These guys, man, we could never have foreseen that this all happened. So all gay Cliff Centralers must holla. Ben, you're legendary. Thank you.
This is all the way crass. This is all the way illegal.
Is it illegal? Can these guys not sell dick?
Is selling ass legal?
Poppy, no. I'm here to learn. I'm not here to judge. I'm here to learn.
No. this is an illegal marketplace.
Well, I'm all for fair trade. So their WhatsApp group and their over 3,000 direct contact list, this is the free market. I'm all for it. If this is what you want to do in life, and there's supply and
demand.
Have
you physically seen these people? Like they,
yeah, one of the guys. One of the guys is here. No, they very much exist. No, it's a real deal. Okay, guys. So basically, Cussy Tops, Poppy's not in on your game, but I wish you guys all the best. Stay safe. Stay professional. And I wish you all the best in your endeavors.
What Ben said.
And always remember, you know, there's always different avenues into a career. Where you start isn't where you finish. What? I'm trying to be serious here. So Cussy Tops, you keep at it. You keep at it. So there was a message for you from the Cussy Tops, which I need to find.
I have a question for them.
Yeah, go ahead.
What if, because you never know these days, and with the level of scandal in South Africa, what if you got called to a hotel room and you found out when you opened the door that who the client was someone that you knew, like an uncle, father, because that's where we're going these days. It's just so messy. Like, what do you do in those instances? Are there pictures of you guys that we can verify and look and like see that we're not related to you, that it's not going to get, do you know what I mean? Like the level
Poppy's
of privacy.
A brilliant question. Cussy Tops, what's your uncle policy? I think that's where we need
to go. No. How do you know that you're not getting called out to people that you actually know, like your boss's house? Do they even have day jobs? I'm assuming so many things. I just have questions.
No, like I said, the professionalism gets them through from there. But yeah, it's a fair question. And these guys, they're learning as they go along. But yeah.
How old are these guys? Hey, South Africa.
Early 20s.
I give up. I'm done. I'm done with this country.
Early 20s. Morning to you, Ben. I've stopped watching Super Rugby a while before the World Cup. The quality of rugby is just not what it's supposed to be, so I'd rather not watch because I just get upset seeing how shit we are. Okay. Well, yeah. I'm not going to fight you on that. I think it's a different reason. I've maybe watched one game this season. Hey, guys. I'm listening to the show from Wednesday, particularly the segment on the Samsung phones and the photos debacle. My mom intercepted nudes my girlfriend sent me on Monday, and relations have got strained, to put it lightly.
Why is your mom intercepting anything?
No, it's the Samsung. We told you, like, there was the problem where these phones are sending messages and you have no way of seeing if they're doing this.
So the girlfriend's nudes got sent to the mom is what this person's saying. Yeah.
But this is what these phones are doing. They're sending random messages. But how about that for the perfect storm of how the system is failing us people?
Just a tip, if you're going to take nudes, don't show your face.
Yeah, there's also that. Cassie Tops are ready for an interview. Guys, I think we should do this when Gareth's back and Sia's back. Because if we do it now, you know, at the same time, if Sia's here, then you can obviously then try drum us some trade
there. No, please, can we talk to them? I have questions, please.
Probably going to have to hold it for next week.
By then, they'll be on like 100,000 clients. Sure. They'll be too busy.
Guys, you know, you've always got a voice here. You've always got a voice with the show here. We do appreciate you. Anyway, I need a cup of coffee. I need to take a little break. Part two of the show on our Friday show here. Once Poppy's composed herself, we'll be back.
This is CliffCentral.com.